Laura, the slasher, is sitting in today.
How dare you? How dare you call Laura? She was nice enough to come in and offer her services for free.
Thank you.
And because you have the bushiest eyebrows this side of Groucho Marx, she was unable to give you the racing stripes. And then everybody knows once you had even the tiniest drop of blood, you freaked out.
Yeah, no, two stitches and I'm fine.
You didn't get stitches.
I feel so bad.
Oh, don't feel bad.
Yeah, it didn't go.
Can we get a Laura growl?
Expected.
Can you growl like everyone else, Laura? Can we get a Laura growl? Just go, Thank you.
There you go.
Not bad. Not bad for first try.
Now, this is Laura's first time filling in on the show. Why has it taken so long, Laura?
I mean, I've actually done you guys a show before, but, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mason, you wouldn't remember. you know, you've met Laura before. You know who she is,
Yeah, Laura.
Right?
I took Laura to a Dodger game this year.
Okay. He did.
Yeah, but you don't remember that she's done our show?
No, I do not. I do not remember strong
Laura, if it
presence.
Makes you feel any better, Kim Kardashian's been on three times, and Mason was willing to bet me anything that she's never been on the show.
Oh, wow.
Until we actually played him interviewing Kim Kardashian, so, did he not believe me?
Laura, you know, I've told you often, my favorite part of the Sedano and Cap show is when you do what you need to know.
You have told me this. Yes, thank you.
So I would like you to do what else you need to know today. What else do you need to know?
I cut Mason yesterday.
That's
true.
A bulletin.
That's
so,
true.
Hey, we're giving away, it's Lakers Ticket Thursday. We got a pair of tickets to see Lakers versus Charlotte Monday night at Staples Center. And I am going to tell a lie at some point during the show today. If you figure it out and call it 3:30, you're a winner for Lakers Ticket Thursday. Are we also giving away Wingstop?
Not today.
I'm sorry.
We are with the Laker Ticket Thursday. That's on me. We are giving away a $50 gift card to Wingstop.
Okay, there you go. That's what I thought. I heard that with Travis and Sliwa a little bit earlier. I love that show. It's very calming for me. It mellows me out hearing that show. And by the way, we're doing Bastards Canteen next week in Downey. Now, Ireland, you are officially not going to be there,
I will not be at Bastards Canteen because I have a Laker game that night, and I thought it was a bad look for me to go to a bar and spend 3 hours when they're not requiring COVID vaccinations,
yes,
and then go right to the Laker locker room. So I will be following COVID protocols, and I'll be on the show. I'm going to do the show from the studio.
And Bergman, it's you and me at Bastards Canteen, right?
Yes, we'll be there live, but we still got John, and that's the most important thing.
Do we have a bit there? Are we doing? What's the angle? What's the theme? What are we doing there at Bastards Canteen? It's just a party, a drunken party?
No, it's owned by a veteran. Veteran owned Bastards Canteen, and they also open. They block off the streets, and so around 3 o'clock they block off the streets, and they have a big party there.
Oh, nice. Okay, so we're going to be part of that.
Big block party, yeah.
I meant to mention that in addition to Lakers tickets and a $50 gift certificate to Wingstop, you also win a Vote for Jorge t-shirt. Now, Laura, are you aware of this? You know, we're doing an award show on February the
6th.
6th, okay? And one of the categories is Best Producer. And Jorge is campaigning. There are actually Vote for Jorge t-shirts that have been made. Yeah. Now, Laura, how do you feel about that?
First of all, I knew there was a award show going on, but we haven't actually talked about it on our show. So, yeah, I mean, I kind of feel really left out right now. I think all of our, like, their entire Sedano show should feel left out.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's Maite.
He brought Maite in.
Okay, see, that's Jorge's cheating.
No,
because Maite is
not.
So cute, and right. She can pull everybody. So I think that should be disqualification for George.
Well, you know what?
She's so cute.
Now, do you know what Maite says about Russell Westbrook, Laura? You've heard her talk about him. Greg, do you have that one?
I can try and find it real quick.
All right, yeah. So Maite's a very big part of the show. Now, speaking of the Lakers, breaking news.
Yeah.
It appears... It's being reported by people who know, people like Dave McMenamin
and Shams Charania and all those guys.
And those guys normally are very in touch with Camp LeBron.
Oh, let's face it, they're right.
LeBron out for at least a week
with an abdominal strain. Which means he misses tonight, Saturday, and then
Monday
game against Charlotte and probably the Wednesday game against Miami.
At least.
Yeah.
And so now people like you and Travis are going to freak out if the Lakers don't win these games. And I will repeat again that any game LeBron doesn't play in, I don't worry about, because if LeBron can't play in the postseason, the Lakers aren't winning the title anyway.
Correct.
And now this team is being judged by whether or not they win the title. It's literally championship or bust.
But, you know, you always say that. But, you know, we always talk about – I hate the word. God, I hate this word, journey. Everybody's on a journey. It's like, shut up. You're on a journey. But, you know, the Lakers are on a journey. We're allowed to judge them at pit stops along the way. Like that game against Houston was a terrible defensive performance. Just unparalleled.
What about the third quarter when they held them to 19 points?
What about the three-pointer that had a chance to give the worst team in the league a win over us?
Well, now, but the question is now, tonight,
I'm looking for style points.
No, they tried to beat Oklahoma City without LeBron last Wednesday, and it didn't work.
Yeah, I'm looking for style points tonight. I just believe with Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis on the floor, you should be able to accumulate some style points and put everybody at ease a little bit. Because a lot of people, and we took calls on this yesterday, a lot of people concerned about the Lakers. Concerned. Now I think the concern is, well, LeBron, this is – first it was an ankle – now it's an abdominal strain.
It's the one thing that could derail the dream.
Yeah.
If they go through major injury problems. And by the way, it's not just LeBron that's out tonight. Have you seen the injury report?
No, I have not.
Okay. Ariza out. THT out. Malik
right.
Monk out.
Oh,
Kendrick
wow.
Nunn out. Wayne Ellington out, LeBron out. I got a report that people had been upgraded. So it appears that both Howard and Ellington have now been upgraded to probable.
Ellington hasn't played yet.
Right, but now he's probable, so we might see them. But it's not just LeBron. The Lakers are definitely going through something with injuries here. So we'll see if who is healthy is able to play tonight.
How concerned are you about LeBron getting through this season?
Oh, and by the way, let me update. Monk is not out. Monk, that was an earlier
injury. Okay, Monk's
to play. Available. Yeah.
Okay. How concerned are you about LeBron? I'm concerned about LeBron. You know, it's his age. What are we on? Age 37 season.
Yeah,
he turns 37
in December.
On
December 30th.
Yeah, so it's his age 37 season.
By the way, Shams is saying 1 to 2 weeks,
ooh.
So it might not just be. And what I'm hoping is that LeBron is available for that big East Coast road trip leading up to Thanksgiving, because that's the one that starts in Milwaukee, goes through Boston, Detroit, the Knicks, Indiana. Would love to see him available for that trip. So today is the 4th. That trip starts on the 6th. We fly out to Milwaukee on the 16th. So 2 weeks.
So that's about 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks would be the 18th. 2 weeks from today is the 18th. So we'll see if he's available for that Milwaukee
game
on Wednesday the 17th.
He's already missed a few or a couple because of the ankle strain, I guess it was. Look, at the littlest thing, at the tiniest twinge, he should be resting. He should not be playing. So he should take 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, however long it takes to heal this. And he should feel free to, I'm totally fine with him taking games off. Totally fine. I'm not saying that's what he's doing here, but at the tiniest twinge, at the smallest nick or cut, I say LeBron should sit.
Well, I think the Lakers are leaning towards your theory. I think they're being especially cautious. My gut feeling, although I haven't talked to anybody, is if the playoffs were tonight, he would be playing.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right.
But I don't know if that's right, by the way. I'm just speculating. But my thought is they're going to err on the side of caution because they realized last year they were up 2-1 on Phoenix and AD got hurt and that was it. The season was over. And this team is built, again, to win this year. So I think if LeBron or any other major star has anything that looks like an injury that could linger, they're just going to sit him.
Yeah, as they should. And this is why they went out and got Russell Westbrook. It's the intention of to ease up on LeBron a little bit so that he's fresh for the postseason when the games really, really matter. And in the meantime, you've got young, fresh legs in Russell Westbrook that can carry you when LeBron is off the floor. Every game should be winnable, even without LeBron, with Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis on the floor. You've got two superstars. Even without LeBron, you should be able to win these games.
Well, I hope so. Maybe we'll find out tonight.
Oh, my God. If they don't win tonight, come on. Well, they're going to beat OKC. I know last week.
What are you talking about? This exact situation played out last
Wednesday.
Oklahoma
City's 1-6, and their one is against us. Are you telling
Correct.
Me they're not
so
going to come
would
out
you
on
say
fire
this
tonight?
Why would you say this is an automatic win when their one win is against us under the exact same circumstances?
Do you think they will collapse the way they did last week? I mean,
I think
this Lakers team is going to have more fight than that.
I think you should tune in to 710 ESPN tonight at 7:30 to find out what happens to the Lakers. Do you like that? It's called a tease.
It's a tease, yes. Listen to that. So I wanted to put a finer point on what I was talking about yesterday about Max Scherzer. So, Bergman, do you get what I'm saying about Max Scherzer?
Not really, no.
Yeah,
I could really use your help on this.
All right, so when you get to the postseason, and we saw this look at the World Series. They averaged more than five innings of bullpen per game, both teams. I know they got Max Fried for six in game number six, but for the most part, starting pitching has been minimized in the postseason. There was not a lot of great start. I'm trying to think of who the great starting pitching performances were in the postseason. There was certainly none in the NLDS with us and the Giants, and there was actually Scherzer gave us one really good start there. There was none of that in the NLCS against the Braves. I just think baseball changes in the postseason. So why are we concerned about starting pitching and spending, let's say 3 years 90 on Max Scherzer, or 3 years even 75 on Max Scherzer, when we know once we get to the postseason, it becomes a different game. It becomes a chess match where we use relievers in the way we did this year.
Right, but how do you get to the postseason if you ignore starting pitching?
Why is it any different? You manage the games the same way you would in the postseason.
No, you don't. Regular season, guys go six, seven innings
all
the time.
No, I'm saying, why would you do something different in the postseason than you do in the regular? Now, I'm not proposing that they don't sign Max Scherzer. I'm just providing an alternate opinion here, which is you spend so much on starting pitching, and then it's minimized once you get to the postseason.
It's different because, look, you're talking about 1 year. You're talking about just this year. The year before, Clayton Kershaw, we talked about it yesterday. Clayton Kershaw had a couple good outings. Walker Buehler had good outings in the World Series. So did, who am I missing? Urias was fantastic in the World Series last year.
Then came out of the bullpen and gave us one.
Right. I mean, that's all starting pitching for the most part. So, I mean, you're taking 1 year where everything kind of went haywire and changing the whole system.
Across baseball. There was
Max
no
Fried
ace.
Went six.
There was
hitless.
No ace in the World Series. Max Fried gave him that last start, but was there an ace in the World Series?
There wasn't an ace, but Ian Anderson went five with no runs, with no hits. He went hitless. I mean, there was guys that actually, there was a Urquidy for, he had a good outing for Houston. Urquidy, a couple of those guys.
Yeah.
A couple of those guys had good outings. You can't just devalue starting pitching completely
based off of one postseason.
Pitching
has been devalued.
No, but from one postseason. So you're not going to pay Scherzer. You're not going to play Buehler when he's up. You're not going to play Urias when he's up. You're not going to pay any of these guys.
Urias you've got. Buehler you've got. You don't even need to sign those. Those guys just go to our
right now,
so
but in like
no
3 years.
Right no, what I'm saying is you're spending a lot of money on something that you don't necessarily use once you get to the postseason.
Right.
And I think that when you get to that world where it's 27 outs, well, it's 54, but when it's 27 outs, you need to nail down. A lot of that winds up being bullpen. That's why I would focus on bullpen arms if I was the Dodgers.
Yeah, I don't think it makes – I mean, you need innings eaters, and that's the problem. You've got to get to the postseason. and you need guys who are going to pitch 5, 6, 7 innings during those 162 games. That's a lot. That are going to carry you there. You can't burn out. One of the reasons I think the Dodgers lost this year is they burned all out their pitchers. They burned out Urias. They burned out Scherzer. They burned out everybody by going to them too much. I would like to see them go back to how they pitch in the regular season. Let the starter go 5, 6 innings and then go to your bullpen. Looking back, if you gave him a do-over, bringing Urias in the way they used him was a mistake. Bringing Scherzer in burned him out. You know, you may have needed to do
it. Yeah, but you don't necessarily get out of the NLDS without Scherzer pitching the ninth.
Why not?
Well, Scherzer nailed down the save, and we'd already used Kenley Jansen.
Yeah, but there's nobody else.
We already used Trinan. We already used Kenley Jansen.
Right, but I mean, there were guys that pitched great in other spots. I mean, I'm just saying, you robbed Peter to pay Paul.
So you would not, in retrospect, you're saying no starter should pitch out of the bullpen, even though Max Scherzer got that save in Game 5 of the NLDS, and Julio Urias was on the mound for the final out of the World Series.
Yeah, I would not have used Julio. Now, I mean, hindsight's easy to...
Sure, it is.
But I would not have used Julio the way they used him because I think it burned him out for the rest of the playoff series. I think he was done against Atlanta after they used him early. And I don't necessarily think Scherzer was ever the same after picking up that save in Game 5 against the Giants.
He said dead arm. All right, Bergman saying around. Hey, coming up next round, I got really exciting news for you on the Real Housewives front.
Really?
Plus, David Chase, the creator, writer of The Sopranos, has said something, and I completely disagree with him. That is coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Food for Jorge.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's right. Keep paying attention for the lie. At some point today, I will tell a lie. If you can nail it at 3:30, you win tickets to see Lakers and Hornets. That is Monday night at Staples Center. LaMelo Ball comes to Los Angeles, plus a $50 gift card to Wingstop and a Vote for Jorge t-shirt, all that stuff, if you can figure out what my lie is. At some point during the show, Clinton Yates has called in. Our friend Clinton Yates wants to react to something we were saying. Hey, Clinton, what's going on, man?
I'm listening to your show, and you're telling me about starting pitching versus relievers. What are you saying here? Are you trying to say that you were trying to go no starters at all during the regular season?
No, what I'm saying, do you pay guys an unbelievable amount of money when starting pitching has been so minimized in the postseason? You have to admit, there were no aces in the World Series.
Well, I mean, that's tough to say when the guy who threw the final game of the World Series had the best performance of anybody in the playoffs and shut out the other team.
But they averaged more than 5 innings per game of bullpen in each of the over the course of the series.
Mason, I'm going to tell you something. As I was at every game at that series, one of the things that the managers talked about was even on days where they were throwing guys, they wouldn't tell them till the day of. I think there's something that's misunderstood about the bullpen games. People think you're just plugging and playing guys. No, there's a totally different psychology to that that most managers would just rather not deal with if they didn't absolutely have to. And that's where having a starter that can do it, even if they don't do it, is really, really valuable, is that you don't burn a lot of this mental preparation energy on all these things you're going to have to set up. You do it because you have to, not because it's ideal or it's because you necessarily want to, you know?
So what do you think the Dodgers do with Kershaw and Scherzer this winter?
I mean, I think you got to find a way to keep both of them in some regard, Kershaw being the lesser priority, I think, just because, I don't know, I sort of feel like in the context of what his career as a Dodger is, he's at the more natural end, even though Scherzer didn't necessarily have a whole lot of time to get acclimated. It sort of feels like he's the more recent addition. Therefore, I don't know, maybe you want to keep him a little longer as opposed to trying to move on from somebody that you've had a longer relationship with overall. But Yeah, man, starting pitching matters, bro, and I think it showed up in the World Series because of exactly what you said. There was so much relief pitching that when you finally got a good starter, it looked like a gem, and it, guess what? It worked out. So
I said yesterday, I don't think the Dodgers should keep Kenley Jansen. I don't think they should work to retain him. What do you think?
I don't know, man. I think Jansen's another one of those guys. This is a team that just has so many characters that people like so much, but also produce just enough where you could, in theory, make a case for so many different players. But then again, that's sort of the issue. I mean, you could have made a case for, I don't know, Kike Hernandez or Jock Peterson last season.
Right.
That didn't work out either. And look what they did in the playoffs, you know, so it's tough to say.
Hey, Clinton, let me change gears on you here. Have you read this story on ESPN, the Baxter Holmes story about the Suns and their owner, Robert Sarver?
I did. I read it, and we talked about it on Around the Horn today, which airs in about 40 minutes. And I don't know, man. I just think that what the main feeling that came to mind for me is that this is going to sound a little weird, but there was some level of validation in seeing this many people being able to come out and tell real stories about real things that had happened. Because this is something that, as a person of color in the world of sports media, trust me, these people are out there, y'all. You know what I'm saying? We are not just making stuff up. And there was a part of this that read this, and I thought, this is awful for everybody involved. But I'm glad they had the courage to say anything at all, because that is so, so difficult in a situation like that with a guy who really is just there for power and control and clearly doesn't really care about basketball that much.
Well, let me piggyback on it, too. I covered Earl Watson when he came out of high school in Kansas City. And went to play for UCLA and for a brief time held the record for most games ever played at UCLA. He played over 130 games there. And he's as much of a stand-up guy as I've ever covered. There's just no way I wouldn't take him at his word. And so for the Suns and for particular Sarver to come out and say that basically Earl is lying doesn't pass the smell test with me. But I mentioned Mason and I were texting this morning, and I mentioned to Mace that, Clinton, I think the difference here between this and what happened with Donald Sterling is Donald Sterling, there was audio evidence. There was hard evidence that Sterling was doing these things. I think short of any audio tape or any videotape or any actual evidence that this is going to end up the same way you live in D.C. or used to live in D.C. with Dan Snyder. I think this ends the same way Dan Snyder ended, that we all figure out, oh, he's a bad guy, but they won't be able to move him out. Do you agree?
I don't. I think there's two factors to that. Number one is that while the Donald Sterling case is instructive, it was different because he was the majority. He was the whole thing. Like, he ran the entire operation. Phoenix has other owners that were on the record in this story talking about the Sarver situation. I think there's that. Number two, I think that we have the commodity of time, which is that, yeah, we might not have the same information as Sterling, but we're also well past that. We have all evolved in a way that I think is kind of different. And just knowing this and looking at this, sure, do I think it'll take something from the Players Association to come out and say, we're not playing for this guy in order to make something happen? Yeah, but I think we're much closer to that being a possibility than we are to something in which he just walks away scot-free. I mean, in 2021, that just seems very difficult for me to swallow. Not from a judgment standpoint, but from a procedural standpoint, considering all the things we saw in the bubble, and again, how we've just advanced as a society where we're just not having this, man, especially now that it's out in the open. I can't see a scenario where he hangs around, at least in nearly public a fashion. I mean, maybe he doesn't get his complete ownership stakes taken, but there's no way this guy can be as visible as he once was after this.
Well, and I think you said something that I think hits on it. At the very beginning, you said that there were so many people that stepped forward. This is not a case of he said, she said. This is a case of they, meaning 70 current and former Suns employees versus what he said. There is a preponderance of evidence here that Robert Sarver is a bad, racist, misogynistic, all that stuff. There's a preponderance of it. And so, it's not V. Stiviano with a recording, but it is a whole bunch of people who worked with him and worked within the organization.
Yeah, and Clinton, you said something else that I think is going to determine the future of this story is, what do the players do? If the players don't stand up against this like they did in the Sterling case, I mean, if you remember that, I mean, I know this story well, and Clinton, you were, I think, were working at ESPN at the time too.
Yeah.
When the Sterling thing broke, these players were dangerously close to basically ending that playoff series, to walking out. And if the Clippers had walked out, there is a chance that Golden State was going to walk out. They were playing Golden State in the playoffs, and the players had a meeting where they actually said, okay, do we take the court at all, or do we take a stand? If the players unite over this, and you mentioned that that's one of the possibilities, then I think it goes the way you're suggesting, Clinton. If they don't, I don't know if anything happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think something will happen, but this is the other part of this, is that Adam Silver has to play a part here because, like, again, we've seen so much happen in the last two years of our lives that, like, if he just stands up there and makes this basically an issue for the team to handle only, like, that just looks ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, we just – this is not as much about whether or not we're indicting Robert Sarver for being a bigot and a jerk. It's about what does the NBA want to be? How do you want other people who had their careers quelled, snuffed out, or otherwise their lives derailed by this maniac? Do you want this to be what you're viewed as having acceptable in your league in terms of attracting talent from all types of different fields? I think that's something that people forget. Not everything that comes down to a team matter, or rather something that's happening as a team, is about one person. The 70 people involved are the 70 people who said something. Let's not forget about these people's families and all the other things that happen around sports that are the reason why we like them at all. If the NBA wants this kind of guy to be in their league, then they're going to have to say something, or, you know, they're going to have to let people know that one way or the other. You can't just act like this didn't happen. There's too much information, and we're too visible, you know, in general in the sports media world to just, you know, say, hey, yeah, bum deal. Bum guy, we're just going to keep it moving. No way. That's not going to work.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Clinton, thanks a lot for checking in, man. Appreciate you.
Of course, man. Have a great day, man.
All right. Cool. See ya.
All right. I tease this, John. I want to get to it coming up next. I've got Real Housewives news. And
excellent.
I know you love Real Housewives. And
well, of course, you watched part 4 of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion last night. Did you not?
Missed that. How long
what?
Do those people have to reunite?
Four parts. 4 hours also, of reuniting.
Also, what David Chase said about The Sopranos is fascinating, and I disagree with him. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Things you don't normally hear on a talk radio show. Oh, you are bleeding. Thank you, Laura.
I don't think that's ever come up before.
No, I don't think any of us has ever bled on the air before. But yesterday, trying to get racing stripes from Laura, who's working as our associate producer today. I don't like the term board out. You're our associate producer today. You failed in your attempt to give me a racing stripe.
I miserably failed.
Yeah, God. You
but
just
I've done it before.
Away. You've done it before, but you failed yesterday. It was like you took an X-Acto knife to my face.
Well, Laura, let's call it what it is. Mason has eyebrows deeper than Sherwood Forest.
Thank you. So, I was not accounting for that
yes,
at all.
Exactly. So that was the problem.
So, Ireland, you love – I always say that the audience for Real Housewives of wherever is women, gay men, and you.
Yep.
That's pretty much the audience.
Yep.
And I got this note today. It's unconfirmed, but I wondered what you thought about it. They are going to do Real Housewives of Dubai.
Yeah, they are.
And do you know who lives in Dubai?
Lindsay Lohan. Yeah, it would.
That's like the perfect combination of things for you, right? Lindsay Lohan and Real Housewives.
Yeah, it would be like. Remember, I said the one thing I thought would have broken the internet is if Tim Tebow would have started dating Kim Kardashian.
Sure,
because there would be two cultural forces that had never intersected before.
Yep.
Lindsay Lohan becoming a Real Housewife is dangerously close to that. It might actually be Bravo overload. I don't know if one network could contain it. But if she becomes a Real Housewife, it just becomes spectacular.
What do you
Can't
like
wait.
About it? It's just people behaving badly. What do you like
yes, it
about
is.
It? It's such crap.
Yes, it is. It makes me feel better about myself.
Is that really what it is?
Yes. I think no matter what's going on in my life, it could be worse. I could be dating one of these women. And so that's what...
So if they did Real Housewives of Manhattan Beach,
mm-hmm.
would you let Lisa go on it?
She claims she would have no interest, but I'm not sure I believe her.
Oh, her and the tennis club, the tennis teacher, well, the jealousy. Yeah.
She wanted to, like, literally do a show, a reality show about, you know, tennis. And
right.
she wanted to call it Tennis Bitches. And I think it would be... I think it would be a gigantic monster hit. Mace, she comes home with a different storyline every week, and the rest of the girls were offended by it. They didn't like it.
Oh, what a great name for a show.
You
wouldn't you watch it right away.
I know, and wouldn't you watch it just to see what it is?
Andy Cohen would be like, yeah, sign me up for that.
And I know.
Would you want to be on it, John? Because if she's on it, you have to be on it.
Well, I would be a background character.
No, I mean, you know, they would talk to you.
Don't all those women's husbands, women, don't they all go to prison for tax evasion or something?
Yeah. If I'm, Greg, I was just thinking, if I'm on it, it probably means because I'm in a scandal.
Yes.
Ooh.
Or that I'm involved, like the husbands sometimes intersect with the other tennis wives, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, see? Oh, wow. That's a real good storyline, John.
So, if I was in it, if I was a featured player, it probably means that I screwed up or did something salacious.
Well, I'm sure you would.
You don't have
Why
to be
not?
A featured,
what I say.
You don't have to be a featured player, though. You could just be a part of, like, you're at home. Like, Lisa's at home, and
you guys
are just talking to each other.
That's no good.
Right, but I mean, yeah. So you have to be allowed, you have to allow yourself to be on the show. Are you going to do that?
I have no objection standing up. I don't think the show's going to happen. Lisa says that it was met with great disdain from the other tennis people.
But don't you think that these shows encourage other people to act like jerks?
That's a
question. It makes me feel better about myself. Don't you think it's made it okay to treat people badly no matter who you are?
No,
I'll be just like Jolene from Real Housewives of Missouri or whatever the hell
no,
it is.
No, because here, I think that you either are a jerk or you're not. The being cast on one of the Housewives shows doesn't necessarily make you a jerk. Like, for example, on Beverly Hills, there is a woman named Kyle who is very likable.
I actually saw her, Juan pointed her out at a Rams game. We were entering together.
Very likable, not a
Kyle
jerk.
Kyle with the Mellencamp person.
She was with Teddy. That's John Mellencamp's daughter. She's not on it anymore.
Okay.
Now
they were going together to a Rams game.
Yeah. There is another woman on that show named Dorit.
Uh huh.
And the minute she speaks, it's like fingers on a blackboard, and you want to kill yourself. I think she came with that to the show, and it's just accentuated.
Don't you think they're coached up to be mean?
Of course.
They're inventing storylines.
I don't know. Well, you know, the big one now is there's a girl named Erica whose husband is being sued for embezzlement. Like, he ripped off, like millions and millions of dollars.
Right, right. I always hear about the husbands being in trouble with the law.
Yeah, so that's my point, Greg. If you're encouraging me to be on the show, most of the guys that get featured on the show are guys who are on their way to prison or did something scandalous, like slept with another one of the housewives or something like that.
So then the people that cast this are looking for a crazy
And by
woman
the way, the people
a,
who cast
with a husband
it,
who's a criminal.
It's the person who it's Andy Cohen casts all these shows.
Yeah.
He's the one running the show over there.
Yeah, he knows how to find the crazy, I'll tell you that much.
He'd pull the crazy out of you, John.
Yeah, I think it would be a gigantic hit. Apparently, it has been met with not much enthusiasm, but I'm not giving up on the dream.
All right. Well, if Lindsay Lohan meets Real Housewives of Dubai, look out.
Oh,
Ireland will actually take days off.
Why not? Why wouldn't I?
Yeah, exactly. All right. Coming up next for you, we're going to spin the wheel of questions. There are some interesting questions on there. So you never know what's going to come up, but there's some interesting questions on you, and I want to get to the Soprano story, and I completely disagree with David Chase on something. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey, what's going on? It is Mason in Ireland on your radio. It is Lakers Ticket Thursday, your chance to win a pair of tickets, see Lakers versus Charlotte on Monday night. That's LaMelo Ball coming to town, plus a $50 gift card to Wingstop and a Vote for Jorge T-shirt. He is all in on trying to win Best Producer at our big award show coming up in February. Oh, Lara, you got to come up with a campaign. Jorge's been very aggressive on this. You got to come up with a campaign.
I just found out about this.
It is time to spin the wheel of questions. It's presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car that's just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Lara, let's give it a spin. Kind of multiple questions here. So, how did you meet your significant other? What did you do for your first date? And did you know you loved them right away? How did you meet your significant other? What did you do for your first date? And did you know you loved them right away? Ireland, you and the lovely Lisa.
All right, how detailed do we need? Our first date was an absolute disaster. It would take too long to tell the whole story, but we decided.
If Momo was here, by the way, she would tell the entire story.
Yeah, I will. One day when we have like 20 minutes, I'll tell you the whole story.
Okay.
But we ended up going to a movie that a lot of people recommended, that it was the hot movie at the time. And do you remember the people wouldn't tell us anything about it. They said, go see it. It's got a surprise ending. It's really good. And think about this for a first date movie, okay?
Yeah.
Do you remember the movie The Crying Game?
Oh, yeah, The Crying Game.
And do you remember what the reveal was at the end?
Yeah, the reveal was that the person had male stuff.
Yeah, we both walked out and went, okay, I guess that's it.
That's a terrible first date.
Yeah, and we somehow survived it, but that's the gist of it. And no, we were not love at first sight. We dated for a while and gradually fell in love after that. But after that, I'm surprised we survived that as a first date in general.
The Crying Game. Wow, that's a dark movie to have as your first
date. Yes, there you go.
Bergman, what about you?
So my daughter and her daughter went to preschool together, and they decided just to have a play date, and we started hanging out, but we didn't actually go on a date for 2 years. For 2 years.
So while you were definitely not love at first sight.
No,
you
definitely
guys,
not love at first sight.
You guys had other priorities.
No, I mean, I thought she was attractive.
Yeah.
And she turned me down one time, but otherwise, yeah, two years later, we went out to dinner and then went from there.
So I had done a football game down in San Diego. I was the last football game of the year I did for Westwood One. I was a sideline reporter. I was sopping wet because it was raining down there. So I drive back to Venice, and I stop at a place called Casa del Mar.
Very famous watering hole, but good hotel down there, Santa
Monica.
Beautiful
place, and just for a cup of coffee. And I see Juan, and we actually have a conversation, and we realized that we know people in common, so that sort of bonded us. And I would say it was love at first sight, because within a week, Juan was living at my house.
Well, you've always said that's the U-Haul joke, right?
Yeah, but I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
The U-Haul joke is, what do lesbians do on a second date? They rent a U-Haul. What do gay guys do on a second date? What second date? With us, we did it the other way.
You rented a U-Haul after the first date.
Exactly. We basically were together from that point on.
Okay. Since we're doing Wheel of Questions,
yes.
Somebody just sent us a very interesting question.
Okay.
All right. This is from someone whose handle must be someone who listens to the station a lot. Because his handle is @CoconutMichael.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. So here's what he writes. I'm a Lakers fan, and I need some advice.
Okay.
Took my son and daughter to a Clippers season opener. My Ooh. Daughter is a Steph Curry fan. My son is still undecided, leaning towards the Clippers. I want to nudge him towards the Lakers, but can't afford the good Laker tickets. What should I do? And so, Coconut Michael, here's what I would tell you. you can let your son become a Clippers fan, but then he's stuck with it for the rest of his life.
Yeah, he has to live with
it. It's not just a decision that you would saddle him with while he's young, but he'll have to be stuck with that forever. I always say, Mace, that there's if you go to a Clipper game, and I've worked for both teams.
Yeah.
If you go to a Clipper game, you're just going to a game. It's fun. They do a nice job. If you go to a Laker game, it is an event.
Yeah.
It is a uniquely Los Angeles experience. There's nothing in town like it. It's like going to the Hollywood Bowl or going to Dodger Stadium.
Yep.
It's a completely different experience. So if you said to me, I can, let's say I have a certain amount of disposable income, whatever it is, and I can afford to go to, let's say, 5 Clipper games or 1 Laker game, I would go to the 1 Laker game because it's a completely different experience. So, Coconut Michael, you may not be able to go to as many games if you and your son both become Laker fans, but the games you go to, you'll remember forever. And you're in the playoffs forever. Think about this. The Lakers have won 17 titles.
Yeah.
The Clippers have never been to the finals. Ever. They haven't even competed for a title. So you could saddle them with that. Or you could get what is as close to a lock of lifetime of memories you can get. Make a Mace, the... If I made an all-time Laker team,
yep,
I could get to the 10th team before I would have trouble beating the all-time Clipper team. Think about this. My first team, if I go Magic, Kobe, Kareem, LeBron, Elgin Baylor, I didn't even get to Shaq, to Wilt, to Jerry West, to Worthy, to Gail Goodrich, to Anthony Davis. I didn't even get to him. Some of those guys are going to be in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th teams.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's my advice. It's a much sounder decision to set him up for the rest of his life as a Laker fan.
So I went to StubHub, and these seats are in the 300s. I'm just going to tell you up front.
Okay, for tonight?
These seats for tonight. You can sit in the 300s at Staples Center. And by the way, this is a tip to everybody. For $24.
And then you get the whole Laker experience.
Exactly. Now, how much do you think to go to the Trailblazers and Clippers this weekend to sit in the 300s?
$5.
$6.
Oh, it's close.
$6.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny that the Laker experience is going to cost you more.
Right, right.
But it's a better experience. It's the difference between going to a concert and seeing the Eagles or going and watching Bergman ride his Peloton.
Yeah, like I've always wondered. I understand that Dodgers Angels is sort of geography, right? If you grow up in Orange County, you're an Angels fan because you're right there in the shadow of Angel Stadium.
Right.
But the Dodgers are Los Angeles's team, period. In the case of the Rams and Chargers, we're seeing this now. New England had more fans there this past weekend than the Chargers did. It's not a Chargers town. Rams games now are really loud. Sunday night will be a big crowd, sold-out crowd, and it will be loud for the Rams. I think it's fair to say that when it comes to the NFL, it is a Rams town. In the case of the Clippers and Lakers, you are really rooting, if you're a Clippers fan, for the B team. It's the team that people will constantly mock you for following, for being a fan of. I always wonder, what is the mindset of a Clippers fan? Like, they know that they're rooting for an organization that doesn't win, that isn't successful, that has never been successful. Is it sadness?
It's just a different experience. It's a game. You can go to it's an NBA game.
But what kind of person says, aside from Laker Billy game Crystal, is I am a Clippers fan?
Clipper Daryl,
Billy Crystal.
So you could be Jack Nicholson, Dustin Hoffman, Adam Levine, Leonardo DiCaprio, or you could be Clipper Daryl. That's what you're looking at.
You could have a red and blue suit.
Yeah. And a red and blue car.
That, by the way, was, you talked about the celebrities, and we were all excited. When I was there last week or 2 weeks ago, for what game was I? I was at
you were at the opener.
At the opener.
Adele was at the opener.
Right. And, you know, Adele was like, everybody's looking at Adele, right? Because she's Adele. And, you know, she's got this song, Go Easy on Me, which is like playing everywhere. But this is one of the innovations that Dr. Jerry Buss came up with back in the 70s. He decided that he was going to make sure that there were celebrities sitting courtside. He wanted games to be show business. And he went out of his way to super serve those celebrities to make sure that they were there so that when you watched a game on TV, you were like, oh, yeah, look, there's Jack. Oh, yeah, look, there's Dustin Hoffman. Oh, yeah, look, there's whoever else, Al Pacino or whatever, Diane Cannon. You know, that was one of the big things that that sort of created this show business environment around the Lakers. Lakers have always been great, but that show business part was really introduced by Dr. Jerry Buss back in the 70s.
Yeah. I just got a note from someone we work with.
Okay.
Coconut Michael, I'm going to DM you right now.
This is Coconut Michael or Champagne and Nuts?
No, Champagne and Nuts is Michael.
Oh, okay, got it.
This guy is maybe it's a tribute site to Michael. I don't know.
A tribute site.
Someone that works high up in our company is listening to the show, and they're going to get two tickets for you and your son to go to a Laker game. We are going to be proactive here and get you into it. Now that you've gone to a Clipper game, we are going to get you into a Laker game so you can see the difference.
Nice. So, yeah, it's a tribute site. What's the handle? At
Coconut Michael.
At Coconut
with
Michael.
With a Y.
Pair of tickets to go see a Lakers game and show your son what Lakers basketball is all about. Very cool. Very cool. All right.
Making Laker fans one at a time here on the Mason and Ireland Show.
Exactly. Coming up next for you, Marcellus Wiley said some stupid stuff on whatever show he's on now. We'll play some of that. Coming up next, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.